This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Good news on the Ukraine front, essentially. I don't think it's good news overall, but at least we're at a sticking point for now. There is no movement. It sounded like just last week that an attack was imminent on the Ukrainian people. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you have had a great start to your week. And if not, guess what? We're almost at hump day. That means you're probably halfway there. If you measure such things, I say that, you know, don't do that. Just get up and just take it one day at a time. Just focus on the now. Oh, I sound like a motivational speaker. No, I am not trying to sound like a motivational speaker. Let's talk about and lean into what I think is the buzz in your backyard and mine, and that is COVID-19 always tops everything, right? It's in our minds. It is. Because of the masking and policies, no matter what anyone says, you're not getting away from this. So COVID cases have gone down. In fact, 44% in just a week. That's good news. But you still have some people that are dying from it. And you do have more mask requirements being lifted. The greatest place on earth, the happiest place, U.S. Disney Resorts, they're lifting the masks in the next couple of days. That's a big deal because they were really stringent about it. So that's getting lifted, and like I say, that's the ripple that we're seeing that's starting to really wave across the U.S. in and out of different suburbs and cities because of Omicron not being as deadly as Delta and people ready to get back to it, unless they're vulnerable. I mean, that's the thing. The more vulnerable should take extra precautions anyway, but those who aren't are feeling as though it's safe to come out and play without a mask on. And I'm seeing it more and more. And I think that's happening depending on the place. If you know, even New York is saying, okay, off with the mask. So that's our biggest cities. You got to think about that. And I think we're going to continue to see it unless something else happens that's incredibly threatening and pushes us back, which, oh, please, no, 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 no. People are frustrated, drained, and not working from the office. A lot of people are not working in an office. They're working from home. I have one friend who's an engineer, works for a very big company, Ericsson, works from home, likes it. An engineer that works on some specific accounts and can do it at home and feels good about the money being saved instead of a long commute. I have another friend who's an admin, works for a big company, Aon. She, too, works from home, likes working from home, and really has no desire to go back in an office. This is what is being weighed at many companies. Do we need to bring people back in? Are we missing human contact and the cohesiveness of teams when more people are actually in the same building? For now, a lot of companies still aren't doing that, or they're doing half week in the office, half week out. I wonder the dent that it's taken to commercial property, because I have to think some commercial property would be affected by that. PJ O'Rourke, I loved his satirical style. Dead at the age of 74, journalist, editor, ex-editor of the National Lampoon, and was very funny. He died from complications from lung cancer that was confirmed, and he was very funny. I saw lots of his appearances on all kinds of things that he did, including he was a regular for the Atlantic Monthly, the American Spectator, the Weekly Standard. He would be on NPR many, many, many times, and he was very, 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 very funny with a conservative slant. He had just a great sense of humor and wit. So RIP to P.J. O'Rourke, dead at the age of 74. The Ukraine, what is the play? Is it de-escalation or not? Russia pulling some troops, supposedly. Moscow says, well, we're ready for some talks. Part of that is the German chancellor has really been in the ear of Putin. He seems to have made the most headway. Putin did say he welcomes a dialogue with the West. And his military supposedly pulled back some of the troops near the Ukraine, but we still need some verification on that. He says he doesn't want war and would rely on negotiations in his effort to eliminate any chance that the Ukraine could one day join NATO. That's his big fear. He does not want that. He does not want it. Joe Biden made a few remarks at the White House promising that the U.S. would continue to give diplomacy every chance to prevent a Russian invasion, but he struck a skeptical sort of tone about Moscow's intentions and said that our allies in the U.S. are not going to sacrifice basic principles respecting Ukrainian sovereignty. Putin's moves have sent global markets a little bit more into the chaos zone, on edge. So you look at the fact that, is it 150,000 Russian forces that are now massed near the Ukraine and in Belarus? It looks like that, somewhere around that. And pulling the troops back would be good, but they need verification of that. The U.S. and NATO keep saying the same thing that we've been talking about on this show. Russia could invade at any time. They've sent troops. They have military supplies, air, land, sea. They got it all. But Russia is denying that they have any such plans. Although the Russian Defense Ministry released images of tanks and howitzers rolling onto railway platforms and more tanks rolling across snowy fields, they did not disclose where or when the images were taken or where any of that stuff was headed for. Nothing other than places of permanent deployment. So is this a little bit of trickery? Is this optimistic feelings that let's move beyond this because we don't get into the thick of this here? Or is this simply one step closer to what inevitably could happen? Hopefully not. We do not want to be in the middle of this. How about former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin? She lost her libel suit against the New York Times on Tuesday. A jury rejected her claim that the newspaper maliciously damaged her reputation by erroneously linking her campaign rhetoric to a mass shooting. She was determined to get this case going. When she was asked about the verdict after leaving a Manhattan courthouse, she said, "Of course, we're disappointed." She hoped there would be an appeal, and she praised her two lawyers. In a statement, the Times called the verdict a reaffirmation of fundamental tenets of American law. Public figures should not be permitted to use libel suits to punish or intimidate news organizations that make, acknowledge, and swiftly correct unintentional errors. So how about that? Palin sued back in 2017, claiming that the paper had damaged her career as a political commentator and consultant with an editorial about gun control published after a man opened fire on a congressional baseball team practice in Washington, D.C. Remember, a Louisiana Republican congressman was injured. Stay with us.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you
you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
A conversation with Gregory Oliver. Check this out. His brother and he both were convicted of murdering three people. His brother suffered from severe mental illness. Gregory did not do it and was eventually sent out of prison after a lot of help from so many other people, but he spent over two decades in prison. He talks about it and how he survived it and how you can survive things that might not quite be sitting in a box in a serious federal prison somewhere, but in a trap in your mind. How do you get out of that? And his story is chilling, and we certainly have heard some of those stories in the past. Not getting it right is the scariest thing. Following the evidence, not having a good lawyer. There's so many things that can happen when a case goes before a jury, especially when you're talking about life and death and when you're talking about the taking of other people, innocent people's lives. All right, so that and then just the facts, as I know them to be true. And there's some interesting just the facts. So how about this story? This is a head-scratcher. A Catholic priest has resigned. That's not the head-scratching part, though. He's resigned. Why? Because there was a church investigation. They found that he performed invalid baptisms throughout a two-decade career. And this is in Phoenix. Father Andres Arango performed thousands of baptisms. And in the baptism, he would say, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But the bishop of the Diocese of Phoenix said the words "we baptize" should have been "I baptize" instead. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So the issue with one word, with using "we," is that it is not the community that baptizes a person. Rather, it is Christ and him alone. This is what the bishop said in a message to parishioners who were, some of them, aghast because they loved this priest. He said that's what the problem is. So the error also means that because baptism is the first of the sacraments, some people would need to repeat other sacraments. Wow. Wow. That is a mic drop moment. I mean, there's so much that we could unpack here, right? Oh, and so for the priest, he said, I mean, look, what's he going to say? He resigned as the pastor of St. Gregory's Parish in Phoenix. He did it in the beginning of February. He said, it saddens me to learn that I performed invalid baptisms throughout my ministry as a priest by regularly using an incorrect formula. I deeply regret my error and how this has affected numerous people in your parish and elsewhere, he wrote. And wow. And here's the thing. I mean, this is their doctrine of faith, saying we baptize is invalid. So all those people that were baptized, they say they need to be baptized again. So they've set up this special website for anybody in that area that thinks they had an invalid baptism, that anybody who had a baptism that was conducted after June 17th, 2021, they're presumed to be valid, because I guess that was corrected. But listen, he's going to continue to be a priest. He's going to, you know, help, I guess, the people who had invalid baptisms. And it's just wild to think about the difference of a word. Words matter, right? You know, how often do you hear that? And when it's explained by the bishop in the way that he explained it, it makes sense. And they're saying that, look, there are seven sacraments in the Catholic Church. There's baptism, there's confirmation, there's Eucharist, there's reconciliation, anointing the sick, marriage, and holy orders. So there could be people that would have to go all the way backwards. Can we say weddings again? Yes, we're renewing our vows because they're invalid because of the way things started off. Hopefully there aren't too many people in that situation, but it is crazy that just one word set this all in motion. I feel sorry for that priest, and I wonder what a lot of those people in that parish are thinking. Some of them were upset, not so much upset with him, upset that he was gone because they wanted him to stay. Wasn't there some way they could just, you know, correct it? But apparently not. There is no way to do that. All right, so as we turn in a couple of different directions, a few odds and ends, things that are happening that maybe you just didn't notice. Oh, there's lots happening. I mean, every day, it's amazing. I feel like I'm a content curator, that's what I say, because it's like a new canvas to me when I wake up and see what's happening across America, what infuriates all of us, what makes us just say, wow, and a whole bunch of other things that we deal with in our everyday lives. Not necessarily these big headlines of some crazy things that are happening, but just the everyday, pulling up at the pump, taking the kids to the school, going to the grocery store, all of that. And I think the frustration of going to the grocery store is the prices, because the prices have gone up, and now you're really feeling the supply chain perhaps a little bit more. I've said this before, but I've noticed it a lot when I've gone to the store. Whenever I come back, this will make you smile, my husband will say, Little Debbie snack cakes, like that's his thing, growing up in the South, Little Debbie snack cakes, and they have these things called like zebra rolls and a ton of other sweets, but they never have any because that's the thing that got affected by the supply chain. So I found one the other day, and it was those zebra roll things, and I thought, oh, he's going to be so excited. I mean, this is great. And he said, oh, that's not the kind I like. That's not the kind I like. I'm like, look, this is supply chain, baby. You got to, whatever you can get, you take. It's the brand you like, I'm sure it's going to be fine. And that's what I think we're all going through, that a lot of times you're picking up a brand. I saw this with pasta. Pasta was completely picked over in all of my markets because of the supply chain. It just happened to be in that area. So whatever pasta is in that box that works, that's the pasta we're going to get. I mean, is this what they call first world problems after all? I mean, it is. So not too bad when that's what you're worried about. It is strange, and we're not used to it because we're used to just having everything, right? That you don't think about it. Boom, boom, boom. This is what I get. You order it, you Grubhub it or whatever you do, and it's not what you normally get. Speaking of getting it, I'll tell you the one thing that has connected a lot of people in a happy way. It's this thing called Wordle, right? And people are playing it. They're just going, it's a Google thing. You Google in Wordle, and they have it for the day. The game requires you to correctly guess a five-letter word in 6 tries. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to do it. So you have people that are now scouring the Internet for tips and tricks on how to solve the puzzle. Come on, give me the cheat sheet. I need the cheat sheet on this. How do I play it? If you play Wordle, you know that after you attempt to guess, the letters change colors to signal how close you are to the answer. Gray letters aren't in the answer. Yellow letters appear in the word, but in the wrong spot. And green letters are in the word and in the right place. It's this big diversion, and it's everywhere. If you go on social media, you'll see it. People will, especially when they want to brag, like, oh, because they got what it, they got the Wordle, they'll post it. Or if they came really close, they'll post it. It is a hit runaway game. Countless players opening their web browsers every morning for the daily puzzle. The game goes viral. People share the results on social media. The New York Times last week announced it was buying Wordle. Other versions of Wordle have popped up online. One fan even created a Wordle archive to play all the older puzzles that you missed. You know what? I've done it. It's frustrating. Right? It's frustrating because you have to know the system, and you have to have it, you've got to get the letter in the right spot to try to guess the word. It's not that the words are so incredibly tough, but I think you have to be good at puzzling. If you're somebody who does crossword puzzles or you do a lot of word games, it's probably not so hard. I mean, look, there's an algorithm that was created, and there are nearly 13,000 possible answers you could pick in Wordle, right? And then you have to go through what are the common words that would most likely fit. I think it's kind of taxing when you wake up in the morning. Does anybody else think it's taxing? Hey, but it is a great uniter in this country, Wordle. Coming up next, Gregory Oliver's story.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden said he will not commit American troops to a potential war in Ukraine as tensions remain high in that region. Biden's comments come as hope for a diplomatic solution to tensions there remained a possibility, though Biden said reports of Russian troops moving away from the border with Ukraine have yet to be verified by the U.S. British Columbia will lift most COVID-19 restrictions on Wednesday at 11:59 p.m. Indoor personal gatherings, indoor and outdoor organized gatherings, and indoor seated events will be able to return to full capacity as long as attendees wear masks and show proof of vaccination. Meanwhile, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has invoked the Emergencies Act and doubled down on protesters who are against his COVID-19 restrictions by freezing their bank accounts. This is USA Radio News. The GOP wants answers on the U.S.'s botched exit from Afghanistan.
Republicans on the House Oversight Committee are demanding access to all documents on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Top Republicans on the panel have written a letter to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, among others in the administration. The letter likens a chaotic Afghan exit to the fall of Saigon at the end of the long Vietnam War. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
In related news, the acting defense minister of Afghanistan's Taliban government has announced plans to build a 110,000-strong army for the country. Since the Taliban seized power last August, the number of fighters in the group's ranks has not been independently confirmed. Freestyler skier Alex Hall earned a gold medal in the men's Olympic slopestyle competition, while teammate Nick Gepper earned silver. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm here with Gregory Oliver. He's written a book called Walking Free, From Bondage to Liberty. I want you to, for a second, close your eyes and imagine being in prison for 22 years. And what's that like when you come out of prison? And how do you deal with being in prison for more than two decades? Gregory, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for inviting me to come on.
Let's talk about your story. Tell us what happened and what that was like when you realized you were going to spend a lot of time in prison.
Well, Ms. Delaney, I never thought in a million years that I would ever be locked up in prison for that length of time. I had went into the military, and I remember the days that my mom had spoke to me and said, you got a choice. You're going to go to school, or you're going to do something, you're going to work or something. You know, I had parents that were strict on trying to get me to do the right thing. And, you know, they did that with all the children, made sure that we would, you know, try to get a good education or do something in life that was worthy. And so, you know, I was not to be around certain people and stuff like that because they knew that bad influences could influence you in a negative way. So I never looked at myself being in a prison setting. And it was just, you know, horrific when that took place. I had someone, a stranger, walk up to me many years ago, and he told me, he said, you're going to go through many things. He said, but you're going to come out. I said, no, sir, you got to be talking about somebody else. He said, no, you're going through many things, but you're going to come out. And he spoke to me and told me, and he said, I'm talking to you. Don't you stay in that house right there. And he pointed to my mom's house, and it was a little time after that my mom's house caught on fire. Two people died in that fire, one being my brother, one being my brother's friend and his wife that he was married to at the time. He was going to college, and he suffered brain damage from that. And he also had been home for a tumor that he had developed, and that's why he was home. And because of that, that horrific act happened to him, and it affected his brain. And little did we know that he would start having, you know, violent outbursts. Well, one particular night, he ended up and he shot three people. And they tried to hold me responsible. Missouri tried to hold me responsible for the acts of my mentally ill brother. And I kept telling them, no, you can't do this. And they did it anyway, and they put both of us in prison. Well, lo and behold, he died in prison. But I never forgot those words that stranger spoke to me. And it wasn't long after that I ended up, and I was, going through a radio program one day, and a minister was speaking. He said, you remember that man told you you're going to go through many things? And he said, but you're going to come out. He said, you got to go find that man. Well, I'm in a prison. How am I going to find that man, you know?
Right.
And I knew it. And from my teachers of a youngster of being taught about the Lord, I had faith to believe God was going to bring me out. And he did do that. It took years, but it was through people that he connected me with along the way, like my wife, Bonnie, that I met while I was in prison. We got married while I was incarcerated. And her fight and her plight of continuously going forth before governors and people to talk to them about my wrongful imprisonment, that they finally began to listen and they investigated the case. And it was then at that point that they end up and they just released me from it. It took years, but it was just a continuous fight.
Wow. So how do you come out of that and not just feel so bitter and feel like, oh, this isn't right, this wasn't right, this was unjust, and then living with that in your head while you're in prison? How do you survive that?
Well, it's not, you know, we see a lot of times on TV where there are people who fight for people who's been wrongfully imprisoned.
Right.
And we see that all the time, and a lot of times we wonder, how can a person endure that? You know, it's not an easy plight. It's something that, you know, only the grace of God can get you through that. And I think that, you know, some people don't have God in that way, and they have people and family that struggle with them and get through it, and they have a lot of people that, you know, spend a lot of money and a lot of time and effort to try and, you know, get the attention of the judicial process, and then finally they either listen or they don't listen. And, you know, it's a horrific thing because once the jury members come back and say that a person is guilty of a crime, we have a tendency to believe that the jurors are like infallible. And that's not the case all the time. And little did we know that there was two jury members that was relatives to the victims on the case. And it took years of us to uncover that. And the state hid those things for years and years and years, and they didn't want that to come out. And even to this day, they still don't want people to know that the jury system was tainted and stacked. But I was walking through the prison yard one day, and I spoke to the Lord. I said, Lord, if it's anything that I have done wrong, I'm man enough to be able to deal with this, and I can stand up to this and do the time that they require, even if it's the rest of my life or I die in prison. I know that if I deserve this, then there's no need for me to be fighting. I can go ahead and live with this and be a man enough to say, okay, then, you know, this is my plight. This is what I'm supposed to deal with, and I have to do that. And he spoke to me as clear as a bell. He said, it's rigged. And I say, rigged? And it kind of blew me away. I'm like, what you mean rigged? And I know rigged means fixed. So right. They fixed the case in such a way. And I just knew that I had to fight. And it was just that fuel in my body that just told me, you got to fight this no matter what until you come out from this. And you can't give up.
And that's what you did. And you fought, and then again, you get released. So tell us, your book is Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty. What will people learn when they read your book, Gregory?
Oh, I'm hoping, and I talk to people all the time. I drive Uber, and I get to meet people on a regular basis, and I just make it a point to always, because it's given me the platform to speak to people who are hurting, who are going through things and struggling in life and stuff like that. And some is having a good day, but if if they're willing to listen, I talk to them about walking free, and I tell them about the book, and they, oh, I got to get this. I got to read this. And matter of fact, even last night, I met a guy that he definitely wanted to, you know, get the book, and he was a Hispanic guy, and he was so angry and upset that they would do this to me. And, you know, and I don't like to upset people, but it's just the fact that we don't realize how many of our freedoms are being stripped away from us a little bit at a time. And usually we'll wake up one morning and not realize that the freedoms are gone. And if we don't stand up and stand for our freedoms and rights, then, you know, someone may take them from us. And I heard it say at one time that if they end up and take our freedom from us in this day and time, then we're going to have to fight with blood to get it back. And we don't want to have to do that. And I think that we need to take Walking Free and books like that and people who have been through these type of situations and take a real look at what is going on in our society. And can we do anything to let people know that we appreciate the freedoms that we have in America, and we're not going to give them up. We're not going to just give them up sleeping at the wheel. We're going to stand for what's right, and we're going to do what's right, and we're going to confront the evils of our time. And it's not about racism all the time. I get so tired of people using that term, and we really don't see the big picture of what's going on, that evil is at play here. And sometimes it takes people that's going to stand up. And I think that, you know, in the Bible, it says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. And so when we see these things that's going on in our society and we don't confront it, because as Dr. Martin Luther King once said, that injustice to one is injustice to all. We can't pick and choose who we want to set free, who we want to release, and then let others go down the tubes as we feel like we want to, because they don't seem to fit in the narrative of what we believe.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff. I mean, you said it all there. This is such an interesting book, Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty, Gregory Oliver. We wish you the best, and thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yes, ma'am. And I really want people to, you know, get to understand this. I'm looking at going to some of the book signings that are set forth for us. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I can, you know, get out and engage with some of the readers and try to let them know how important it is to get this type of dialogue, even if it's on your table. You might just open it up and read. I remember I talked to you in the pre-interview.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I was telling you about a guy that I had touched bases with, and he wanted to get a copy of my book and my wife's book. And the thing of it was that really hit me was, you know, he had overcome something in his life. He had been struggling with diabetes. So it's not just a book about someone being incarcerated or in prison, right, but it's about real life issues.
Exactly.
And this guy had overcome this, and then I don't know if he had a relapse, because sometimes things, you know, you look like, hey, you right at the end of the light of the tunnel, and it seems like things going well, and here he is, another setback, or, you know, somebody seeming to try to protect the wrong or something like that, and instead of protecting the right, and you have to continue to stand firm, and don't give up, but I coined the word, don't give up, get up. And this guy, he committed suicide, and I was so hurt, and my heart was broken over that. And by the way, my wife went to church Sunday. I wasn't there. I was out of town. But when I got back, she told me one of the ladies kept her promise, and she gave her envelope with money in it so that we can, you know, put towards books to give to people that can't afford them.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Oh, God.
Just keep doing those kinds of things. Gregory Oliver, we're out of time, but thank you so much.
Yes,
keep
ma'am.
Believing. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for having us. And we believe that God's going to bless everybody in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
And we head for the exits with a big time Just the Facts, as I know them to be true. I love this. Revenge is sweet, isn't it? Or is it a dish served best cold? You pick. Peloton had their first all-hands meeting under their new CEO, Barry McCarthy. It ended early, though. Laid-off employees crashed the virtual meeting. You can't make that up, right? Hey, you booted us, but we still have the technology. So that's what happened. I thought it was pretty funny. This you also can't make up. So the Rams just won the Super Bowl. Woohoo! They're going to Disneyland, but they still owe some money. So the Rams playing in the Super Bowl owe a ton of cash for moving to Los Angeles. The team privately financed SoFi Stadium, the most expensive stadium in history, for $5.5 billion. In 2020, the Rams had an operating income of negative $37 million. That's 0.7% of the cost of the stadium. Wow. That's crazy, right? So think about that. How do you make that up? I mean, the team's value soared to $3.5 billion as it's, you know, that pandemic year. But then you think about, again, because of the drop in revenue and everything else, what does that account for? So Stan Kroenke pitched the Rams relocation in SoFi Stadium as part of a massive redevelopment of that whole Hollywood Park area. It's in an L.A. suburb in Inglewood. Hollywood Park, three times the size of Disneyland, has 500 square feet of retail, 2,500 homes, and commercial office space. So there you go. You look at the whole deal, and the problem is the Rams are being basically sold at less than cost, and there's where you get into to trouble. You know, you got to fill up all of that to make it really hum. So this is an interesting business that's really where they win the Super Bowl, but yet they're in massive debt. Yikes. I love this one. I truly, honestly did. Booking.com announced plans to cut or outsource 2.7 thousand call center jobs. So now when you call Booking.com, you're going to have that same problem that sometimes you have when you call other companies where you don't know who you're going to get on the other line. Hey, just the facts. And it doesn't make you feel comfortable when you're trying to figure out the whole booking thing. They had a Super Bowl ad. Maybe they had to pay for the Super Bowl ad where they talked about Booking.com just wasn't sexy, right? Yeah. MoviePass 2.0. Now, there's a new version. It's not going to offer unlimited movies, but a credit-based system where viewers can earn credits toward watching movies, you know, toward movies by watching ads. That is good. Because here's the thing. People go through the ads, right? You don't have to watch the ads. But what's the incentive to watch the ads? The incentive to watch the ads would be the credits that you would get that could go toward whatever it might end up being. I think this is the funniest, just the facts. Insurance company Aviva says, check it out, there was a 31% increase in virtual reality related home contents claims last year because players kept crashing into their furniture. I got an Oculus. My fabulous husband got me an Oculus for Christmas because I thought, yeah, great working out. And I do. I like it. And you have a perimeter that you build around you. But I could see how if you didn't give yourself enough space and weren't aware of the space, how you could crash into furniture, especially if you had a crowded living room and that's where you were doing it. Mm. I saw a crazy thing thanks to some of this stuff, all of this just the facts from our pals at The Hustle. I saw a really crazy story about tobacco. And I don't know if I was surprised by this or not. Philip Morris International, they sell Marlboro cigarettes outside the U.S. They're up 14%. Altria, which sells them in the U.S., is up 6%. British American Tobacco is up 20%. 20%. So what's the deal with the turnaround? You know, is it because more people are smoking? Is it something to do with e-cigarettes? Is it, you know, what's the fate of tobacco? There is an uptick. That's partly the pandemic. I don't know that, so that's not just part of the facts. That's my speculation. But those numbers I gave you are the facts. They're all up. And tobacco stocks obviously are performing well. And maybe people are, you know, freaking out by what's happening with interest rates, and maybe investors are looking for other things to invest in, and maybe cigarettes has become the thing. All right, this is pretty interesting. The players, and I'm going to go back to the Super Bowl, the players on the winning Super Bowl team each get $150,000 bonus. The players on the losing team get $75,000. That's on top of any bonuses they would have earned by their teams that were part of their contracts, you know. And I mentioned this the other day on the show, but it's worth mentioning again. Mattress Mack placed the single largest legal sports bet ever, $5 million on the Bengals. And this was written before the Super Bowl ended, but if Cincinnati won, he would have gotten $16.2 million. Of course, they didn't, so instead he lost money. Yeah, lost money. The average price of a used car, just the facts, hit $28,500 in January. You know how much that's up? You listen to this number, 31%. This is a result of the number of 16 to 25-year-olds getting used cars, which sank between 2019 and 2021. So now it's gone up. It's really tough because of the supply chain problems and the availability of cars, and especially depending on where you live. I just had this conversation with a wonderful night manager, front desk manager, rather, when I was in Iowa at the big Sheraton there, and he was telling me he had to wait and wait and wait for his car to come, that it was coming on a boat, and he wasn't even sure he liked the color, but he had to put down a down payment just to make that the trek, you know, for the car to come over, and he was hoping it would be okay, and in the end he liked it, but he said it was really, really tough to get a car, and I believe that because I'm seeing this all over the place where people are going up to people and looking at their car and just offering them, you know, money for it. Just to put this in perspective, you know, we're talking about trips to Mars. Will that ever become a reality? And all these available potential launches into space that you could take if you have a serious money, thanks to all these billionaires. But if we go back to 1990, the Voyager 1 spacecraft took a photo of Earth 3.7 billion miles from the sun. The photo, I looked this up because I remember this, the photo became known as the pale blue dot, also the title of astronomer Carl Sagan's 1994 book. So yeah, how about that? I forgot all about the pale blue dot, but sure enough. So Valentine's Day has come and gone, and if you run into the stores now, you probably get cards 50% off. But will you remember where you put those cards? Will you remember what you did with them? So it's interesting. The Smithsonian has a digital Valentine's Day collection. They have vintage cards, songs, stamps, and all kinds of things. So that's not going away. The Valentine exhibit is very interesting because, I mean, it goes way back on some of the old-timey cards that were sent like in 1868. And the title of the one card I saw was I Love You in the Same Old Way, and it is the same old card. Of course, some of the language is a little bit different depending on what the, you know, what the year was, but hearts and stamps, the stamp collections I thought were really, really interesting. You know, those candy hearts that you get back when stamps were 37 cents, they had two candy hearts, the I love you hearts, you know, the single hearts that you get those candy hearts. And then there was a stamp with ribbons that said love, and the greeting cards, though, to me, were really funny. So Valentine's Day, it was serious business, you know, even way back when. It was something that people took seriously enough that they ponied up whatever money they could sacrifice and got some kind of a card. It's interesting because Valentine's Day, and this is a fact, was really, St. Valentine was, it was about beheadings and horrible things in history, and then it suddenly has become, you know, a love day. It wasn't always, though, about flowers and chocolates and going out to nice dinners and getting engaged or you know, whatever. I mean, millions and millions of people did that. But if you go back to the 1800s and you look at the roots of St. Valentine's Day, yikes, I invite you to do that. I mean, the some of the things that they did and some of the things they did to people were incredibly twisted, but it certainly has evolved into a completely different type of heart day. On that note, we're going to skedaddle, and thanks so much for listening to this show. You can always hit me up, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, with questions or comments or anything like that.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.